Well, I was part of SLAM at the time, and I am currently working with Critical Resistance, and I have been doing organizing around the prison industrial complex, which is inclusive of police violence, prisons, jails, courts, surveillance, blah, blah, blah. Political prisoners since 78. I'm also using visual arts and my ideas, merging art, visual art, and organizing is an effort to reach the imagination and to, you know, to help us spark liberation via our imaginations, whether that's imagining PIC abolition or, you know, beings in the year 2078 with mouth in the head and multiple genitalia. You know, I think it's the same work.
I wanted to ask you for a little background about, like, your years fighting the criminal injustice system, the prison industrial complex before the year 2000, and just, like, really briefly, if you could talk about what groups and what movements you were part of since 78?
Yeah. So I started organizing, well, you know, my folks were activists, so, or organizers, in the 60s and 70s. So I had, and I came up during that period, so I had an environment around me that, you know, that really supported these ideas of revolution. And, but then I got in high school and I got, like, wow, so I kind of stopped, you know, being a little movement kid. But when I went to college, I started organizing primarily around Assata Shakur's case and a little bit around Desi Woods and Geronimo Pratt. And I was primarily interested, so I was primarily working around political prisoner issues, and I was very much interested in Assata's case because, primarily because she was a woman, you know, and as a black woman, I was really hungry to see, you know, folks who were like me, that I could, you know, draw draw some role models, people I could look at and see, like, okay, where are the similarities? So I started working on those cases, and I started working with, initially, we started in an all-black, not just one all-black school, but a complex of black schools, Morehouse, Spelman, Clark, Atlanta University, and Morris Brown. So these are all black colleges in Atlanta, and there was not a National Black Students Association. And you wouldn't think there would need to be, right? Because, like, we're students, we're black, we're all here. It's historical black university, right? But the curriculum and the politics of the schools were so steeped in Eurocentricity and really bourgeoisie and really about maintaining, you know, the status quo, that we formed a chapter of the National Black Students Association. And very quickly after that, our chapter, which was predominantly made up of revolutionary nationalists, our chapter, I think that all of us became members of the Republic of New Africa, which, you know, I don't know if you know them, but part of the analysis, part of the program of the RNA, Republic of New Africa, is that black folks are a nation unto ourselves, and as a nation, we need land, we need culture, we need to be able to defend ourselves. And so the call was for five states in the South. And there's a lot of organizing going on in the South, particularly amongst black youth. And anyway, so I was part of that group for a long time, which later birthed Malcolm X grassroots movement. But at the time, there was no Malcolm X grassroots movement. There was MXP. And so in addition to doing the defense work around the political prisoners, we also did a liberation school in the black community. And we did some food stuff, and we did some, you know, various protests and that sort of thing. So, did I answer your question?
That's awesome. That's great. That's amazing.
And we had a newspaper. We were part of the newspaper. We put out a newspaper, worked with the newspaper that was coming out. So we were student organizers who were part of a national black radical tradition. So we weren't just like students who were, you know what I mean? Like, we weren't just doing a student thing. We were also tied to community and then tied to a larger national politics, so to speak. So that's where I got a lot of my political training from. We had like dojos, and you know, I remember kicking a cadre leader because I had issues with being too emotional, quote unquote, and not being disciplined, you know. And he kept smacking me in my face to get me to be more like scientific about how to fight, you know. And I was like, because I was always, you know, the artsy one and, you know, the bohemic one. And they used to be like, oh, yeah, you're a little anarchist. And I would be like, yeah, suck one. And they would be like, you know, because at the time, you know, that was like an insult, you know. And so he was like slapping me. And so, I kicked him without form, you know. I just kicked him, like, really pissed. And I made contact with his calf. And it was like I kicked this metal door. And my foot was sprained, you know.
Oh, shit.
Maybe.
Oh, God. The good old days. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. The good old days. Exactly. Yeah, and a lot of, you know, and we were a cadre group, so criticism, self-criticism, and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with being a cadre unit. I left Atlanta, I don't remember what year. I went back to Chicago, probably in the late early 80s, and I went back to Chicago, and then I started working with Malcolm X, you know, kind of forming a Malcolm X grassroots movement chapter in Chicago, and we started working with a coalition of folks around police violence, in particular the John Birch case. Remember that?
No. When was this? In the 80s?
Like late 80s. He just got I don't know what.
Oh, the torture guy.
Yeah, the torture guy. What did he just?
Shit.
I don't remember what he got, but yeah. Man, years we worked on this case, you know, and
oh my
got
God.
Nowhere with it.